When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
How do you do? Jen and Cam feel it would be unkind to present this program without a friendly word of warning. We are about to unfold our true crime podcast, a podcast of lifelong friends who seek to examine crimes which were committed without reckoning upon God. The discussion will be frank, and the subject matter will be of a grim and violent nature. I think it will thrill you. It might even horrify you. So, if there are young children listening, or if you feel unwilling to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to... Well, we've warned you.
Hey, hey, Jen.
Hey, Woo! Cam, how are you?
Oh, you know, it's been an eventful summer, to say the least. And
it has.
Yeah, I'm ready it to be back with my little Jen and our true crime podcast. That little podcast we have going, you know.
That little thing.
That little thing we got.
For those of you don't know, I just got back from vacation. Cam is trying to sell her house. So it has been very busy.
But yet we keep going,
but
we
do. But
we don't miss an episode. We just keep going. You got a house sale,
but you know what?
No problem.
We have friends that help us out. We have
we
people
do.
That
we do.
Don't give Fern. Us scripts.
Fern's our main person today.
Fern is our main person, and we want to thank Fern. She actually had a podcast, Evidence of a Crime. She was sweet, and she helped us out by giving us the script today.
Boy, and
so
boy,
shall we get into it?
Did she come in clutch? Right? Let me tell you,
she did. Woo. We love Fern. Fern is. Woo, woo. Fantastic.
I can't
I'm
wait.
I'm hoping
can't
one
wait.
Of these days that she'll restart her podcast. But until then, she can just help us.
She can be that third host that we got a bad review on that we
yeah,
never really had.
Except Fern is actually pretty.
Yeah, but I'm
damn
saying
awesome.
It's Jen, Cam, and Fern.
And Fern. Yeah.
Right.
She fits right in the group.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well,
anyway, shall
me.
We start?
Hit me. Hit me. Hit me.
All right. Well, this one, I want to say, I believe this person is now. I kind of idolize her. I adore her. She's a strong woman. You ready to hear it?
I'm so ready.
Today, we're going to talk about Naomi Oney from England.
Wow.
Naomi Oney was born on the 11th of February in 1992 in England. Her mother, Marion, was elated because she had always wanted a baby girl. And she raised Naomi to be extremely smart and respectful and taught her to place more value in who she was as a person as opposed to the way she looked. Because looking different and being treated differently was something that Marion had to deal with on a daily basis. Marion had albinism. Albinism basically is a genetic condition marked by little or none of the pigment melanin in the skin, hair, and or the eyes. And this caused Marion to have very poor eyesight. And because Naomi was the only child, Naomi pretty much grew up caring for and looking out for her mother. Naomi was her mother's extra set of eyes, to be honest, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And although she had a lot of responsibility from a young age, Naomi grew up into a typical happy teenager. Her friends said that they always had a lot of fun every day at school, and they'd get in trouble for talking too much, you know, just like you and
same
I did.
Same girl, same.
Mm-hmm. And they always had a lot of shared interests, like most teenage girls do. They were into celebrity culture, fashion, makeup, music. You know, you get the gist.
Mm-hmm.
Normal everyday girls. And of course, there comes a time when there's mean girls. Mm. And sadly, Naomi began to struggle at school as a result of comments about her appearance from the other girls, the mean girls. And she started to lose confidence. And I think almost every girl suffers from that, don't you?
They do. Yeah, it's hard.
Seriously,
it's girls hard. It's just hard being a kid.
It is. Girl and girls are so mean.
Yeah.
But these girls, they would laugh at her hair or the way she was. They would say she was wearing too much makeup. And Naomi would wait until she would be alone with her friends to cry. She would always hold everything in and she wouldn't let it.
It's awful.
Them see that they were getting the best of her, but it hurt.
Kids are so cruel sometimes. Mm. Ooh.
Girls are the worst, too, really.
I think they are.
Naomi hung out with a bunch of friends. There was four of them all together. It was her, Phyllis, Vida, and Mary. And they all looked out for each other. They were very close. But Naomi always says that she felt particularly protective over Mary because Mary was also bullied by the other girls for the way she looked. So she kind of felt the need to protect Mary a little bit more. They were kind of in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
After the girls graduated and they left school, the girls parted ways, but they still kept in touch online. And occasionally they would meet up and go out for drinks and catch up, get together, all the stuff that good friends do. And in general, she kept to herself and she focused on her ambition of becoming a makeup artist. So when she turned 20, she got her very first job working in a Victoria's Secret at the Westfield Shopping Center in Stratford. She was placed in the beauty department, and she believed this is like the first stepping stone to achieving her dream of becoming a makeup artist. And at the time, she was in a very stable relationship, and she admits that she felt like she was finally going somewhere in her life. But, you know, she was also very naive. Weren't we all at 20? Seriously.
Brutal.
On the 29th of December, 2012, Naomi set off as usual to work her shift at Stratford. And she remembers feeling a bit disappointed, given that everybody else was off work for the Christmas holidays. But she went in, did her shift, and after finishing up at about 11:30 at night, she left the store with her colleagues, and as a group, they walked to the train station where they eventually went their separate ways. Naomi got on the train from Stratford to West Ham, and then got on another train that went from West Ham to Barking. And I'm assuming if you're from this area, you know exactly where this is. I'm a little confused, but you'll catch up. Now, before she went home, she went and she grabbed some food just at like a fast food place. I think she said she grabbed some fried chicken and some French fries. And she was just going to eat it when she got home. As she got to the final bus, she decided to call her then boyfriend for some company. Because it was just after midnight and it was cold and dark and the streets were empty. And I'm sure that was a little scary. Mm-hmm. I would have been scared. As she exited the bus and began walking the short distance home, something caught her eye.
Uh-oh.
She turned to the left to see a dark figure in the distance that was following behind her. The person was dressed in a niqab, which is a veil that's worn by Muslim women in public,
mm-hmm.
and it covers, you know, you only see their eyes. You know mm-hmm. what I'm talking about? It covers their mm-hmm. hair. You just see the eyes. So the only visible part that she actually saw was their eyes. And she said that she felt that they were staring at her coldly.
Ugh.
She started to quicken her pace and began crossing the road. And she was still talking to the boyfriend on the phone. And then all of a sudden, she felt a splash of something hit her. She immediately grasped her possessions and ran as fast as she could home, and she was screaming for her life. Her face began to burn.
Oh, no.
And her clothing started to dissolve. And the smell was unmistakable. She had known immediately that someone had thrown acid at her. She started pounding on the door, screaming, "It's me, open up," you know, screaming. Her mom answered the door, and Naomi's still screaming, and her mom was just horrified. Naomi went into the house. She took off her face, eyelashes, and her earrings, and she ran to the bathroom to get into the shower to have the water kind of try to wash away the acid. And this was on her aunt told her to do so. She's like, "I didn't know anything what to do with acid, but I know the best thing to do would be to dilute it," or she thought she would. It is a good thing.
That's what she did. Okay.
Cold water to dilute it. We'll talk about this at the end, too.
Okay.
Her aunt said that while she was in the shower, her clothing, I watched a documentary on this, her clothing just started falling off of her. It was just horrible. At this point, her mom and her uncle called the police and the ambulance until they finally arrived. Naomi later compared her face to pouring boiling water into a cold glass.
That's awful.
Her skin was cracking and dissolving, and there was nothing she could do to stop it. She asked her aunt to go to the hospital, as she didn't want her mom to freak out. And in the back of the ambulance, paramedics wrapped gauze on Naomi's face to save as much of her skin as possible so she could be assessed by a specialist.
So they wrapped gauze on her face to hold her skin on?
Yes.
Oh.
She's 20.
Ugh.
When Naomi arrived at the hospital, nurses placed her in a large shower and washed her continuously with freezing cold water as she screamed in agony. Then the nurses had to stretch open the burnt skin around Naomi's eyes to wash them with the saline for around 40 minutes. The damage to her eyes was so bad, the doctors expected her to lose her sight completely in at least one eye. Naomi was then transferred to a specialist burn unit at the Broomfield Hospital in Chelmsford, where her eyesight began to rapidly decline. At one point, she describes what it felt like, her body, quote, shutting down. All she remembers were doctors prodding and poking at her and talking about what degree burns she had. The damage to her body was mainly on her face, scalp, shoulder, forearm, and thigh. She lost both of her eyelids, and the doctors had to take skin from behind her ears to replace them. Following the attack, Naomi spent weeks in the hospital, where she had two major facial reconstruction surgeries. Surgeons took skin from one of Naomi's thighs to replace the skin that she had lost on her face, shoulder, arm, and the other thigh. This poor girl went through.
I don't even, and at 20, hell. I'm sure she didn't even understand, like, what's going on.
What was going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, I don't think you can see, you can't think of long term. You know what I mean? Ugh.
About a week after the attack, Naomi's vision began to return. Naomi caught a reflection of herself in her phone screen, and she admits that she felt sick, and she just didn't want to live any longer. And she had actually turned to one of her loved ones and insisted that nobody would ever want to marry her now because she was so disfigured and ugly. I can't even imagine the depression that would sit in after.
Well, I was just thinking, like, she's only 20. I don't think you can fully comprehend that. And then, I hate to be shallow,
even
but
at 50,
as a 20-year-old girl, like, oh my goodness, like you, she
wanted
just said nobody's
going to
marry her, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Police immediately began to make inquiries in the local area, knocking on doors in the neighborhood and pleading for any witnesses to come forward. CCTV of Naomi's day and her route home was collected, but the officers couldn't see anything suspicious. People in the area had heard her screams following the attack, but nobody had witnessed the attacker. Naomi had no idea who would want to do this to her, and she didn't even have any suggestions for the police when they asked. She had told them that she basically always kept to herself, and she wasn't having any trouble with anyone, and she just lived a normal life for a 20-year-old woman. The police asked Naomi if anybody had ever threatened to throw acid on her before. And Naomi was quite taken aback because, thinking about it, somebody actually had. Her school friend, Mary.
Her friend? Her buddy?
Her friend, Mary, the one she protected all through high school or through school.
That's not her, now, though.
They argued the year prior, but they had made up. And actually, Mary jokingly told Naomi that she'd become so angry that she thought about throwing acid on Mary's face. Naomi says Mary typically doesn't like to feel, quote, small. And Naomi thought that Mary was just trying to, quote, big herself up by mentioning it because the argument wasn't even important. It was just kind of, you know, I could kill you, that kind of thing. But it's kind of specific for the acid throwing.
That's what I'm thinking.
Regardless of the prior threat, Naomi knew that it couldn't have been Mary because they had been friends forever. And they had only seen each other 4 or 5 times since they had left school, but they spoke online almost daily. She had been calling and texting Naomi while she was in the hospital and was highly concerned and was a shoulder that Naomi cried on for during the most horrific few first days. Mm-hmm. Mary even offered to come visit Naomi in the hospital. But because an investigation was ongoing, she wasn't allowed to. Because the police had no other suspects, on the 22nd of February 2013, they arrested Mary. They did. They brought her in. They had no evidence, but felt the previous threat was enough to at least ask her for some questions. During the interview, Mary described her relationship with Naomi as quite close, stating, quote, "We speak regularly on the phone." When asked why she had previously threatened to throw acid on Naomi, she said, quote, "Acid? No." And then she denied that she ever made this comment.
Okay.
Mary was released on bail a short while later, and the investigation continued. Another 2 months passed, and the investigation still hadn't moved forward. They were at a stalling point. Naomi was frustrated with the police, and she was becoming increasingly paranoid, which I don't blame her. Mm-mm. Many of her friends speculated about the attacker, insisting that Naomi must have known who it was. Naomi began overanalyzing her relationship with everybody and viewed everyone in her life as a potential suspect.
I would too.
Even family. I would too.
You have to play that out in your head over and over. Who did I say? Did I see somebody? Did I give somebody a mean mug? Like what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did I do? What did I say? What could have made somebody so upset?
Insult somebody
upset?
At McDonald's?
Like, and she's in the hospital, and that's all she's going surgery after surgery. Ugh. That's all she has to think about, right?
Yep.
Pretty quickly, the investigation took a turn, and Naomi became the prime suspect of her own attack.
Stop it.
Seriously. The police asked her if she'd ever been in a gang, and she said no. They told her to stop lying and to tell the truth. Hmm. And Naomi insisted that she had not been in a gang. And she didn't have any enemies. She didn't know why this happened, and she was just on her way home from work. But the police didn't believe her.
You know, let me just say right here, as this is how crazy this is.
Mm-hmm.
As a female or a girl or a young woman, you might throw battery acid on yourself, but it sure as heck is not going to be on your face.
No,
right?
Never.
There's
on your
no
face.
There's no way. No way. Mm-mm. So that alone, they should have known. Yeah, I carry my vat of battery acid on me at all
a
times.
A woman? And,
yes.
A young woman who dreams of being a makeup artist,
yep,
to hit
no
herself
way.
In the face with
nope.
sulfuric acid. No.
And I'm not even a detective, Jen.
I know. But you're smart ahead. Enough. You could be. Naomi had just come out of surgery for having her eyelids replaced. And was days away from being discharged when she got a text from her friend saying, quote, "I hope you're okay. They're trying to say you've done it to yourself." Naomi thought it was some kind of sick joke, but she saw that her picture and name was featured in newspapers such as The Sun with berating stories about how she had disfigured herself. The stories came as a result of what the police believed to be a significant find in the investigation, and somebody on the inside must have leaked it to the police. Could you believe that? Slander is going around, or libel, I guess, since it's a newspaper, saying that you did this to yourself.
Did they get in trouble for that?
That I don't know. They should.
They should be sued.
But I guess if the police... if it was an inside job, like a police officer or somebody leaked it to the press.
Yeah, but it's still, they're the ones that printed it. Like a police officer can say it to them, but that you don't print it.
Horrible. The police had taken Naomi's laptop following the attack and had found Google searches for Katie Piper. Katie Piper was an aspiring model in the UK. And in 2008, 4 years before Naomi's attack, Katie's jealous boyfriend hired someone to throw acid in her face in an attempt to disfigure her.
I remember that story.
So she would never work again.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly. Yeah.
She was seriously injured and left blinded in one eye. Mm-hmm. Katie Piper's case is widely known within the UK. She's written books and has been featured in countless documentaries on British television. She inspires burn victims and other acid attack victims to wear their scars with pride and not feel ashamed. Go, Katie. Along with the Google searches about the case, Katie had also searched for before and after pictures of Katie Piper, and in later months, she had Googled eyelid surgery. Which, come on, we've all Googled eyelid surgery. Well, I guess we, because we're older, anyway.
Plastic surgery.
Like plastic surgery,
yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because of these searches, police believe that Naomi had conspired to do this to herself for the level of fame that Katie Piper had achieved. Which,
no way. Nope.
No.
I'm telling you, as a female, a girl, especially one that's in the beauty industry, no way.
No.
Nope.
Naomi was in pain and recovering from surgery and couldn't defend herself against these claims. And at this point, she was just physically and mentally exhausted. She knew the police were no longer on her side. And so after she had been discharged, her family convinced her to begin seeking national coverage via the media in an attempt to put pressure on the police.
Is it Mary? Did Mary do it? Did she?
And that's what she did. Naomi, within days, she was booked for an interview on the Breakfast Television show This Morning and had been featured in an article for the Evening Standard, both of which her auntie had arranged. Meanwhile, Naomi was still dealing with many people accusing her of doing the attack on herself. Her family and friends say it was extremely difficult to sit and listen to these claims, knowing that Naomi was innocent and had been left permanently scarred. I mean, not just physically, but emotionally as well. Her friends, who hadn't seen her in months, were also seeing her injuries for the very first time in the media and on TV. They were appalled that someone had done this to her, and her friend Mary texted her saying, quote, "Oh my God, it doesn't even look like you."
What?
I watched this interview. I Googled it, and you can watch the This Morning interview. It was heartbreaking. I teared up. It's horrible.
I'm just hoping Mary didn't do it.
Well, Naomi's on this panel and they asked her all these other questions. And she's like, you know what? I don't hate this person who did this to me. I just want to know why.
Why?
Why did they do this to me?
That's exactly what I would want too. Why would you hurt me?
Like, why?
Why do you hate me so bad that you would do this?
Exactly. What did I do, or what did you perceive I did to do this? That's, I think, why I would want to know. Mm-hmm. I would want to know why, too. Investigators within Scotland Yard were watching television when they came across Naomi's distressing interview. Naomi stating that her attacker was still out there concerned them very much. And this was such a serious crime, they couldn't believe that nothing was really happening with the case.
Mm-hmm.
So the investigators ordered an immediate review of the case, which ultimately led to the Scotland Yard homicide team taking over. Which is good. We like this. The new investigators reanalyzed the CCTV and noticed that in every clip featuring Naomi, somebody was following close behind. It appeared to be a woman wearing a niqab, carrying a distinctive gray handbag. The woman followed her from Stratford to Barking, and she kept getting closer and closer. Out of curiosity, detectives then interviewed the custody footage that they had of Mary from her arrest. And guess what? She was carrying the exact same handbag.
No. Her friend Mary?
Her friend Mary. The police filed an arrest warrant for Mary again and searched her property to retrieve the bag for forensic analysis. There, they discovered that the bag had substantial damage from what, you ask?
Acid.
Yeah, some kind of acid substance.
What is wrong with her?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently a lot.
That's when Mary Kanye, Naomi's friend, was placed under arrest.
Was she jealous?
Police discovered that following the attack, Mary had changed her status on BlackBerry Messenger to a picture of Freddy Krueger with the caption, quote, "Who looks like wrong turn now?" And she deleted it quickly, but many people on her friends list had saw it and they were horrified. Now, if you don't know, it's Wrong Turn is a movie about disfigured cannibals. Naomi's friends were not surprised to discover that Mary was behind the attack.
They weren't?
No. They said, one of the friends in the documentary said that she always felt that Mary, she was almost kind of afraid of Mary a little bit.
Just because Naomi got attention or why?
No, they never really, I don't think they went into it, but they just said that they were uncomfortable with Mary.
Mary's there was just cray cray. She cray cray.
So the friends weren't surprised, but Naomi was beside herself. She actually convinced herself that Mary was innocent and she was heartbroken.
I think you kind of would, wouldn't you?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
your friend. And in your head, you're thinking, no way, no way, no way with this
years.
Person.
They had been friends for 10 years. And this is what happened. I mean, this is the ultimate betrayal. Seriously, it really is.
Plus, I'd be so mad at the police officers that thought I did it to myself.
Thank you. And then all the newspapers that came through it.
Ugh.
The kicker, Mary had even celebrated Naomi's 21st birthday with her at home while she was recovering from her attack.
What better way to camouflage your guilt than to do that?
Let's
invite
the victim to party with me. Mm-hmm. I mean, how heartless can one
Very.
Person
but then again,
be?
Who goes and pours acid on your best friend's face?
I mean, how can you pretend to be friends with somebody when you did such a horrible thing to them?
And then actually, you know, I'm just thinking,
I mean,
watching them recover and suffering through all this, and then you go and pretend like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm so sorry.
I mean, sleeping with your friend's significant other is nothing compared to pouring acid all over them.
I wouldn't know about that, but no. No, I wouldn't know about either of those, but yeah.
No, but still, I'm just saying that it's unreal. On a BBC Three documentary about Naomi, her friend Vida was talking about Mary and Naomi's relationship prior to the attack, and she said, quote, "It was an intense love. It was motherly, sisterly, romantically. Maybe at some points, I don't know. There was something in the middle of it that was sour. It was almost like when you love something so much, there's going to be something about it that you hate, and that hate can make you do crazy things."
Was Mary kind of in love with Naomi a little bit?
I don't think so. What is believed is that since they were black, Naomi says that Mary's darker skin tone was one of Mary's biggest insecurities. And Mary believed that she would be prettier if her skin tone was lighter like Naomi's. And although Naomi had told Mary that she was beautiful for the way she was, her friends noticed that Mary had begun to apply lighter makeup in what they believe was an attempt to look more like Naomi.
Oh.
Her friends believed that Mary had attacked Naomi as a result of intense jealousy.
I would say jealousy or maybe love or that weird
I don't think
love
it's
jealousy.
Love.
I mean, love, like not sexual romantic, but like I want that so bad. I want to be you. That obsession, I guess, is more the word.
Possibly like a single white female type.
Kind of. Yeah.
Not that's
like I'm going to make you come down to my level. You won't be pretty anymore. You're not going to be so pretty. Right.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, that's just what that's. Anyway, it's horror. There's nothing that justifies this, whatever, no matter what
not.
Your feeling is. A few months before Mary's trial was due to begin, Naomi's skin had healed enough for her to undergo a procedure to have her eyebrows restored. As makeup and beauty were so important to her before her attack, Losing her face, hair, and eyebrows had sadly stripped her of all of her confidence. Deborah Robson from the London Clinic restored Naomi's eyebrows using temporary tattoos that mimic individual brow hairs, making them appear like real eyebrows. In a video released by the clinic, Naomi sobs with happiness after seeing them for the first time, and she's incredibly grateful. I mean, I watched this too, and I'm telling you, I bawled. This girl is my hero. I admire her so much. She has been through so much, and she's just...
I can't imagine.
You need to honestly. Watch it. I'll put the links and everything.
No, I cannot
everything.
Take any more sadness in my life right now. I can't, but I get that, like, just a small little thing like that. Bless her heart, that probably made, it makes you feel normal, you know?
Yes, yeah. It does. I will put all this, the links in the show notes, and I love her. I'm telling you, she's amazing. Mary Konya's trial began on the 6th of January, 2014, just over a year after the attack had taken place. She pleaded not guilty, and her defense argued that Naomi and Mary had planned the attack together for fame and fortune. Naomi expected Mary to be somewhat remorseful.
Hey, you know what? If we're going to plan that for fame and fortune, let's have you be the one with the acid attack, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like, come on.
Naomi expected Mary to be somewhat remorseful, but after hearing her lie again, and this time to her face, she was in total disbelief. Mary admits that she was the person who followed Naomi that day, but says she did it because Naomi had told her to do so. She claims that at the last minute, she told Naomi she didn't want to do it anymore. So Naomi had taken the acid and thrown it on herself instead, accidentally hitting herself in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
The jurors were then told details about the argument that had occurred a year prior, which resulted in the initial threat of acid being thrown. Mary Konya had sent a message to Naomi's boyfriend, falsely accusing Naomi of sleeping around in an attempt to break them up. As a result, Naomi called Mary an ugly monster, and the two didn't speak for months. The defense also argued that Naomi had earned £3,000 or $4,100 following the attack in just doing media and television interviews, and again used the internet searches for Katie Piper.
And let me just point out right now, $4,100 to have my face ruined, my eyelids
for life.
Re-sewn on from the back of my ears. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
No.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Yep. They tried to do this, just said that this is what happened. Because $400 million?
Maybe.
Maybe. Not
$4,100? No.
Yep. They were just trying to discredit Naomi and said that she just wanted to disfigure herself for her to be famous. Naomi was then asked questions about why she had Googled plastic surgery and eyelid surgery, to which Naomi replied, quote, "I do not think I was very pretty at all. I went to the sites for no reason in particular. I had body issues and I was interested in plastic surgery for my body, but there was no particular reason. I remember searching for my eyelids because I had double eyelids, which I didn't like, so I planned one day to see if I could do something about it." Which is normal. Totally normal.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey, Jen, you've been gone a week on vacation. How's it going?
Oh my gosh, we are having a blast. But you know what? The full days at the amusement parks are physically exhausting us. And since we need something to like relax us before bed, I brought out The Love Letter by Zeman Games. And you know what? To all our listeners out there, your friends and family will also love this fast-paced card game. Love Letters is so simple to learn that they can pick it up in no time. You just draw a card and play a card on your turn, using the character's abilities to stay in the round and to make sure your letter is the one that gets to the princess. And honestly, all you need is 2 to 6 players, ages 10 and up.
Love Letter is $11.99 and comes with a velvet drawstring bag, so you can take it anywhere. You can get your own copy of Love Letter at Target, your local game store, or directly through Z-Man's web store. That's zmangames.com. ZmanGames.com.
My daughter has been looking for the perfect gift to give a friend who's turning 18 in a few weeks. But you know what? We finally found what we've been looking for. The perfect gift. A birth date candle from Birth Date Co.
I love that. Each candle is made to order based on someone's birth date and makes the perfect gift. You know, it's inspired by astrology, tarot, numerology. Each candle comes with a custom personality reading that's scarily accurate, and it's printed right on your candle. So every time you light it up, you can read it and enjoy.
And you know, all those things right now are so big with the kids, especially on TikTok. It's crazy. And each candle comes with a customized fragrance that's developed by master perfumers. Now, ours, Cam and I's, our candle is like a flower scent. It's so yummy. I love it. It's very fragrant, but it's not overpowering. It's just perfect.
See why over 8,000 people have given Birth Date Candles a 5-star review. Our listeners get a special discount. Take 15% off your order of $50 or more by going to birthdate.co/OTCP.
So go ahead and treat yourself or a friend. You won't regret it. Take 15% off your order of $50 or more by going to birthdate.co/OTCP. And we'd like to thank Birth Date Co. for sponsoring this week's episode. Finally, they claimed that Mary and Naomi would often joke about the film Wrong Term, and that the BlackBerry Messenger status update was simply an innocent joke between friends. Now, like I said, the Wrong Term is about three horribly disfigured, cannibalistic mutant men who pretty much look like Freddy Krueger and from Nightmare on Elm Street. The prosecution argued that Mary had known how much the Katie Piper's attack had affected Naomi, which was ultimately the inspiration behind the attack. Mary had originally denied following Naomi or even being in the area at the time, but her mobile phone had pinged not only near Naomi's home that evening, but it showed that she also sent a text to the Transport for London number inquiring about bus timetables around Naomi's address. She had also used her Oyster card on the bus following Naomi that evening. So she didn't do a very good job covering her tracks. During the investigation, an expert gait analysis, as in walking gait, like how you walk your stride.
Oh, gait, yeah.
Gait, G-A-I-T.
G-A-I-T, yep.
I-T, mm-hmm. They were called upon to determine whether the lady in the CCTV footage following Naomi was Mary using the custody footage. Mary seems to have a distinctive walk as she places more pressure on one leg than the other. So the gait analysis determined that with 100% certainty that Mary and the attacker were the exact same person. Yeah. The jurors then heard the text messages that Mary had sent to Naomi following the attack. And the immediate days following, Naomi had texted Mary saying, quote, "I even wish I was ugly. I'd prefer that to looking like this." And Mary responded, quote, "Don't worry, you're not going to look like this forever." And finally, Naomi said, quote, "I can't even wish this on my enemy."
Wow.
Despite Mary's poor excuses and further attempts at deception, on the 23rd of January, the jury deliberated for 7.5 hours before unanimously deciding that Mary was guilty. She was charged with throwing a corrosive fluid with intent to disfigure or cause grievous bodily harm. Her sentencing began the 21st of March, and before the judge delivered the sentence, Naomi had the opportunity to read a victim impact statement to the court. The following are excerpts from Naomi's statement. Quote, "Prior to the attack on December 12th, I was what I considered to be a normal 21-year-old girl and did most things girls my age did. I was in a steady relationship with my boyfriend. I had a job that I liked, and I had a loving family and a home. I didn't really have any cares or worries and looked forward to the future and what I could do with my life. I was confident and content. I was into beauty and makeup, and I dreamt of doing something in the future involving this. Due to the attack, I have been permanently disfigured. I have suffered permanent scarring to my face, legs, chest, stomach, and arms. I was almost blinded in one eye. I've suffered severe pain due to my nerve endings and skin fusing back together. My hair was burned in the attack, and I am told it will never grow again. I will have to wear a wig for the rest of my life. My eyebrows were also burnt off, and I now have semi-permanent eyebrows. I have lost my right eyelid, and the vision of my right eye has been impaired. I will have to have further reconstructive surgery and laser treatment at different stages over several years. I have been told that it will take at least 2 years for any sort of improvement in my scarring. To achieve this, I now have to wear a silicone face mask to assist in the recovery of my skin healing. I am supposed to wear this face mask 24 hours a day for the next 2 years. It is very unpleasant to wear as it constricts to my face, causing me pain and irritation. It is also very difficult to breathe through. I do not like wearing it in public either due to the attention it gets." And she ended the statement, quote, "The fact she has never admitted to what she has done to me just adds insult to injury. I have had to attend court and give evidence to try to get justice. I have been asked personal questions, been humiliated, embarrassed, and attacked in the witness box. Nasty things had been said about me, and I have been called a liar, and yet she has not shown one shred of remorse. It has been so painful sitting there and listening to her tell lie after lie. I just feel like I have been a part of a game to her. It is very difficult to accept the planning and preparation she took to ruin my life and that there is nothing that I could have done to stop her." Following Naomi's statement, Judge David Radford said, quote, "This careful, premeditated criminality was planned against a person who reasonably believed you were a true friend," before adding that she had been deliberately untruthful during the trial and that the attack was a premeditated and callous plan which sought to burn and disfigure. Finally, he sentenced Mary to 12 years in prison.
That's all she got?
That's all she got, 12 years. And scarily enough, sulfuric acid is becoming increasingly popular as a weapon in the UK, especially young men.
Yep.
It's readily available and extremely easy to conceal, and the results of an acid attack can be devastating. It leaves permanent damage both physically and emotionally, and depending on the severity, it can even kill. On the BBC Three documentary, which features Naomi's story, the consultant, plastic, reconstructive, and burn surgeon who treated her upon arrival at the Broomfield Hospital states that the most important thing to do if you are attacked by acid or are around somebody who is to cut off the clothes as opposed to pulling them over the head. You cut them off, and then you begin rinsing with water within 10 seconds to minimize the injury.
Wow.
So that's what you do. If you can get to water within 10 seconds.
Who right? can, though? You probably...
Exactly.
You're so shocked that something... You probably don't even understand what's going on.
No. Luckily, Mary was close to home, or it probably would have been a lot worse than it is.
Well, I just looked her up.
It's still pretty bad.
I looked her up, and you know what? Mm-hmm. Shamingly, Both of those girls were beautiful. The one was darker complected, but still a beautiful girl, honestly.
They're beautiful girls. So, there's nothing wrong with them whatsoever.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So Naomi's life was changed in an instant, and she's been left to deal with the effects of her injuries ever since. She is now wary of everybody who comes into her life and is constantly glancing behind her to see if anybody is following her closely. Looking back, she realizes that Mary was never a true friend. Urges women and young girls to trust their gut if something doesn't feel right in a friendship or relationship in period. She says that Mary would fall out with her all the time. They would have falling outs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be over the stupidest, smallest things. But she never thought that Mary would ever put her in danger.
No, because nobody would. Can you imagine?
No. When Naomi found out Mary was behind the attack, she assumed that Mary must have planned it with somebody else and that they had thrown the acid because she couldn't believe that Mary would have done it by herself. And she claims that she would not accept an apology from Mary now because it would be an insult.
I agree.
Naomi has also been openly critical of Scotland Yard, who put her in a compromising position by releasing information to the press that suggested Naomi was behind her own attack. And this led to weeks of abuse that Naomi had to deal with alongside everything else she was already going through. The police released a statement in response saying, quote, "All lines of inquiry were considered in the early stages of the investigation. The investigation was detailed and complex, and officers had a duty to explore every avenue of inquiry and to retain an open mind about circumstances." Just after the 5-year anniversary of the attack, Naomi was featured in an interview for the television show Good Morning Britain, where she says that although she doesn't think Mary deserves it, she has forgiven her and just wants to move on with her life. And despite the trauma that she went through, Naomi views herself as a survivor instead of a victim. She hopes to spread awareness about the devastation of the acid attacks, while also being an inspiration to many people who live with a disfigurement. She continues to pursue her dream of becoming a makeup artist and hopes to have her own makeup line one day. Mary Kanye served just 6 years of her 12-year sentence and was released from prison in early 2020.
Where she live? That's what I want to know. And you know what, Naomi? Somewhere. I love you, girl. I love you.
Seriously.
Let me tell you right now. I don't think I could forgive that. I would spend my every single day of my life revenging
Mary. Even if it's just in your head. Never.
I guess Naomi, you do have to get over that. I guess you do. But you know
what?
You
have to if you want to heal with
your
life.
She's a better person than I am.
She is. Mm. Trust me. Mm. Better than me, too. I would hold that grudge forever.
Oh, I know you would, girl.
In fact,
I know you
would. I
would
probably have that grudge put somewhere on my tombstone.
Yeah, I know you would.
And F Mary. You are worse than I am at that
stuff.
I never forget.
Mm.
No, I don't.
But I guess you have to move on with your life.
Right.
However, at the same time,
it would take me longer than 5 years. Naomi was an inspiration. She really is.
I think it would take me a lifetime, let me tell you.
Mm. Oh, yes. 5 years is nothing.
I would.
In the scheme of things. But isn't she?
I guess I'm a little person, but I would sit there and plot things to get back, honestly.
I will definitely put links to all of the documentary and everything in the show notes, and I strongly suggest people go watch them. She really is a phenomenal woman. I think she's on Instagram, too, if you want to go follow her. She's got quite a following on there. But seriously, she is an outstanding woman. I really do admire her for what
she's going through. I just can't imagine somebody that would have that much disregard for somebody to, and their friends, that's a thing, right? To go ruin their life.
They were, yeah.
But to like ruin their face and their livelihood and put them in the hospital for months and all of that.
No, no, just something. That acid is just so brutal. I mean, brutal.
You
it's
melt.
Painful.
You melt.
You do.
Your face
melts.
Your body
it's
melts.
It's worse.
Yeah.
It almost seems like it's worse than being set on fire.
Well, it's kind of the same thing. Like, you melt.
Right.
So, yeah. But a shocker. At least the fire you kind of see coming, maybe,
right,
a little bit. But to be shocked with the acid thrown on your face, and I know that's
late
a big
night
thing, Thank goodness, not here in the United States yet, I hope.
But, never,
hopefully. Yeah.
But seriously, it's just...
It's awful. Horrible. Unbelievable. But you know what? Kudos for her to rising above, yes, and being a bigger person and learning and then inspiring people. So.
And a huge cheer for her auntie, who is a huge hero. Placing her, I mean, she...
I wouldn't know what to do.
Quickly. I wouldn't have known either, she was quick enough to put her in the shower. I mean, that's quick thinking. And she did it right. And she said the only thing that she could think of, she said the smell was just horrible. And she knew it was a really strong acid. And the only thing she could think of doing is to dilute it. Mm-hmm. And getting her in the shower is what the only thing she could think of. And she was right on the money. Like, she... probably saved her eyesight, Mary's eyesight.
And probably her
and the more damage. Of her facial yes.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
But yeah, thanks, Fern. I mean, you really saved us this time.
First of all, Fern. Cutest name ever. And second of all, thank you so much.
Oh, she's adorable. Trust me, she's adorable.
Like me?
Of course, like you.
Just kidding.
We love Fern.
Wow. That was terrible. You know, I can dislike somebody, I can not understand where they're coming from, but never like that. I mean,
no,
that's like I said, I'd trip you maybe secretly down the stairs at a hotel, just whatever. But that's just because it's you. You know what I'm saying?
I would only do emotional damage, and I'm not. I mean, I know that sounds silly, but I could never cause anybody physical harm.
Brutal.
It wouldn't even be that much emotional damage.
Yeah.
But I just know I couldn't cause anybody any physical harm.
It's awful.
There's nothing you could do besides hurt my children, you know?
Don't even say that. God,
but
terrible.
You know, that's the only thing that I could think of. It wouldn't be any kind of jealousy.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing,
even
though.
With
that situation, you never see that coming. Like, they were friends in a million years. You think, okay, somebody's stalking me. They're walking up behind me. You're probably thinking, oh, they're going to stab me. They're going to rob me.
And she didn't even realize that until the last minute.
And then...
That's the whole thing. She didn't know until she... I mean, it was...
Brutal.
Just... Yeah. She had just noticed that there was somebody, like, seconds before it happened.
Yeah, it's brutal.
And always be aware of your surroundings. Always...
I am. I'm a chicken. But...
I know.
You just never know. That's not what I would ever think.
I would never think another woman would harm me like that.
Not like that. Uh-uh. Nope. All right, Jen. Well, I mean, Fern. That was...
Fern, thank you.
Shocker. Oof.
I'm happy I have a new woman to admire now. I'm going to...
Well,
she is amazing,
girl,
and
power,
I hope everybody...
Honestly.
Seriously.
You know what? You think you get up and you have a bad day because your toast is burnt. Remember Naomi. Honestly.
Right. She's a strong woman. And Katie Piper, too. All the women that have survived horrible attacks.
Terrible.
But yeah, anyway, that's it for us this week.
Have you watched anything good on the TV, on that there television there, Jen?
I was on vacation. I read a lot of books.
What'd you read? Anything good?
I read course you had to ask me this. I read some Karen Slaughter books, which she's always amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot of my bargain bin Kindle books that I just like bought for. I have this email I signed up called BookBub, and it has like deals where it's like, this week it's free, this week it's 99 cents. So I have a lot of trash books. When I mean trash books, they're like, I can read it in 3 hours and they're okay. They're entertaining for that 3 hours, but they're not anything.
They're not heavy duty.
Exactly. I read a book called Verity by Colleen Hoover, which was good. I read The Good Daughter by Karen Slaughter. I read The Girl Who Played with the Ouija Board by William Malmborg. It was just okay. It was more graphic sex than anything.
Oh. Wait, what kind of sex? rabbit or rabbit?
Graphic.
Oh, graphic. Okay, that's even better.
I mean,
what's the name of that? Let me check that out.
The Girl Who Played with the Ouija Board.
Okay.
And you know what else I found that was kind of made me upset? My Kindle, with the last update that it did, all these books that I read, they
were unmarked as read. So I like would start all these books and
you already read them.
I had already read them.
Of course you
I read
did.
Pretty Things by Janelle Brown. That was good. Mm-hmm. I read Stillhouse Lake and Kilman Creek by Rachel Kane. That was good. I read The Last Days of Jack Sparks by Jason Arnold.
You are such a little reader. I love it.
I love to read. And this is like, I was finally able to read a book besides...
True crime.
True crime.
Yeah, you read for pleasure, for work. I get you, girl. Mm-hmm.
So it was good. I did last night watch the first Fear Street.
Oh, I haven't watched that yet. Is it good?
Fear Street, 1994.
Is it good?
It is. I liked it, but you know, you can't top the slasher flicks that we had back.
Well, plus when it was we all younger. New, right? Now it's like.
And the kids, they're kids, and you're just like, yeah, you know?
Mm-hmm. I get you.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the music. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably watch the second one. What about you? What have you watched?
Well, today I watched. This is terrible. And it's old, but I had no idea. Jen, did you know? It's awful to admit this, but Chandra Levy, remember? Mm-hmm. She was having that affair with Gary Condit.
And supposedly. Then, didn't they prove that she wasn't having an affair?
No, they were having an affair. But
okay,
they never found her killer. And then they found the guy that was her killer. And that's where I thought that was, right? No, mm-hmm. He walked. He's done.
Really?
See, I didn't know that. Did I miss that? I guess I did. So he was a Guadalupe. He was from somewhere else. And so they took him back out and put him back in his country. And yeah, nobody's ever been brought to justice. I had no idea. No idea.
Wow.
I missed that. I missed
now,
it.
See, I always thought that Gary Condit, he still hasn't
admitted
that he had an affair, right?
He kind of did. He did to the police officers. And I guess he apparently had a full-on alibi, like he was nowhere near that. But it took forever for him to admit that he really did have a relationship with her, right? Mm-hmm. And so then I knew that it like went on forever. And then they found this person and they said that he did it because he attacked girls in that park that she was running in. So they assumed he did it. And then apparently they think he didn't. So they took him out of prison and shipped him back to his country. And nobody has ever, I cannot believe that I didn't know this, honestly.
No, I just looked it up. And Ingmar Guandik, mm-hmm. an undocumented immigrant from mm-hmm. El Salvador, was convicted in 2010 and sentenced to 60 years in prison. His conviction was later overturned and a retrial ordered earlier last year, which I don't remember when this article was. But then the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia dismissed all charges against him.
So nobody has ever...
The mm-mm. office concluded that, quote, it can no longer prove the murder case against Mr. Guandik beyond a reasonable doubt. Wow. No,
see?
I didn't know that either.
I missed it. Very angry about that. So anyway, I was watching Marsha. Okay. I'm just going to admit it right now. And I watched all of them today. Marsha mm-hmm. Clark, First 48 Investigates, I think is what it's called. And it's on mm-hmm. A&E. And I was just like, okay, whatever. And I stumbled upon it today. And yeah, I watched all of them. Actually, it was really good. Like she interviewed all these people, but it wasn't just about that. It was Robert Blake. Let's see who else. Like it was all these big famous cases. But like I said, I had no idea. I didn't know that. And I didn't know that there was other things that like Gary Condit didn't ever really admit to it. And it took him forever. And then finally, they believed him because he was meeting with Joseph Biden. Like he was meeting with people so they could substantiate that he was meeting with those people. So he did not kill her. But at the same time, he would never admit he was having an affair with her.
Right.
And then they pulled the audio recordings and it was like he had told the investigators, yeah, you know, she works in my office. We're just casual friends. But then he would call her and go, okay, I miss you. I haven't talked to you. Where are you? Call me. Okay, so let's go meet up here. Let's do this. And then they finally pressed him and he said, yeah, we were having a sexual affair or whatever. So I don't know. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Pretty good show.
No, I didn't really know that either, to mm-hmm. be quite honest.
I kind of missed it because you know what? When something is really big and it breaks, everybody knows. But then when something kind of goes wrong, you kind of shuffle it under the rug, I guess.
Oh, yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
This was how I stumbled upon it, was the very first one that I watched. And it's her little series. But But I can't believe they didn't renew it. But you know what? I'm sure it was so expensive because she talked to all these people. But it was Rebecca Zazu.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She committed suicide jumping off that balcony with her hands tied behind her back, her feet tied, butt naked. And we all know girls don't really like to be naked. Women, like when they kill themselves, right?
Yep.
Because it's...
They usually dress up.
Woo!
Yeah. Nines.
And then I guess it's her lover's, her boyfriend's brother was the one that found her. And like on the 911 call, he called and said, "So I got this girl. She hung herself." That's what he said. She picked him up at the airport. I don't know. It's very bizarre. So check it out. I think it's on A&E. I don't know. Marcia Clark.
Also, riddle me that. Our friend Jules, she actually, on her July 10th episode, she has an hour and a half interview with Rebecca's sister and brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And they also do a promo. She also plays a promo from our friend Mike at Brew Crime. So, yeah.
I just think, almost just like this episode, and I hate to say it, but as a girl, a female, a woman, whatever you want to say, like you care about what you look like. You know, boys are kind of like, whatever. I'm sorry. Men are kind of like, whatever. You know, you don't shave, but you shower. It's fine. And so it's kind of like, why would she take all of her clothes off, top off? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that alone, the one guy said, in 56 years of doing this, I've never once had a female that committed suicide take off all their clothes. They just don't. They don't.
I once read a book by a coroner, and I can't remember what it was, but they were describing a woman who had committed suicide or I forgot what the correct term is. He said when women do that, they dress to all nines. Mm-hmm. The older women usually wear pantyhose.
Yep.
They put on their best outfit and in their life. So, yeah, that's kind of, to be completely naked is...
Well, and the thing that really struck me, they were saying that, like, women, sometimes they will, like, tie their hands together so that they can't take the rope off their neck. I know that's really graphic. But her feet were also tied. Then she had a t-shirt that was gagging her. Yeah. What? That's weird. Yeah. You're not going to do that, are you?
Yeah, that one has always... Dateline did a bunch of an episode on that one, too. I know that's very...
You just don't. It's, and then she had...
wasn't there something written on the back of the door?
Yes. Yes, it was, "She saved him. Can you save her?" And they talked about that, too. It was written in third person. And so, and they were saying that her DNA was found, like the thumbprint was on the very top lid of the paint, but it was like a paint squeezy jar. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was like, so if you have the thumbprint on the very top, you would be holding the tube, too. And there was none. It's just very, something's not right.
It's a very odd case. And you're correct. I agree that I don't believe that's a suicide.
Well, I just, you know, why would she get
a sense of the
term? Maybe you tie your hands because you don't want to take your neck off. You don't want to take the noose off your neck or whatever. Right. Like you'd get scared and you panic. But your feet, then you take off all your clothes. Then you put a shirt in your mouth. Seriously? Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Yeah, that's not.
So check it out. Bless her heart. She was 33.
And what was that called again?
Marcia Clark investigates the first 48 or something like that. So she took the first 48 hours of a crime and then she went and dissected it a little bit. I got to tell you, it was at first I was just like, okay, whatever. That was, I think it was the Shankle Mansion mystery. And that's how I first got into it. And then I also watched the Robert Blake, Bonnie Lee Bakley one. I watched them all, Jen, because I'm
Marcia Clark, attorney
from
was she?
OJ Simpson.
OJ, that's right.
Yep.
I was thinking OJ or Menendez. I remember it was 90s.
Well, she did OJ. Yeah, it was good. Check it out.
I also caught up on the American Horror Story, the short stories.
Mm-hmm.
They're interesting. I
only watched the first one.
Yeah, I watched all three. I liked it. I do. I think the first one went too far, I think.
The first episode, because that's the only one I watched, and I didn't even finish it, I don't think.
Yeah, just, I don't know. It's fine, I guess. I don't know. The first, The Murder House, is still my favorite.
Yeah, see, me too.
Out of all of them.
I love that. I do.
And this is set back in The Murder House. It just, I don't know, it just doesn't have the same zing. And normally sequels don't, anyway. It's fine. I suggest if you have an hour and you want to kill it, do it. But it wasn't anything.
Yeah.
It wasn't a, oh my God, you have to watch type thing.
Yeah. Well, I think I do love them. I really do. But I think they're kind of grasping at straws a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, this one, Paris Jackson, is gorgeous.
Thank you. I saw her and I was like, who is that? I know her. She's gorgeous. So
and
cute.
The one girl? Yeah. The one girl I thought was Cindy Crawford's daughter for the longest time. And I'm like, that's got to be Cindy Crawford's daughter because it looked a lot like her, but it wasn't. Not. Or at least what I found didn't say, but it looked a lot like her.
All right, Jen. Well, that was good. Giant shout out to Fern. We did banter a lot there. Sorry about that. But you know, Jen and I haven't talked to each other for a while. So
2 weeks since vacation. Yeah, just text.
We so. Chat a little bit. A little chat.
And we wouldn't take you long. But thanks for listening, everybody.
You got it. And we will see you next week. Until then, remember, lock your doors.
And keep passing by those open windows.
Bye-bye.
Love ya. Mary Kanye. I always want to say Kanye West, but it's not. She's a model, of course.
Yes, she is. Gorge. Just like you and me, Jen. Duh. Mm-hmm. Duh. We could have so had a big modeling career. If only we were 5 feet taller. Not six inches.
I got hit, and my brother threw a football and hit me in the nose.
Something like that. Yeah.